There's no doubt about it. COVID has upended many aspects of life this past year, and household finances are no exception. Recent data notes that nearly 15% of Americans with retirement savings accounts, like 401ks and individual retirement accounts, tapped those funds over this past year, with another 13% noting the need and intent to do so in the imminent future. Those numbers paint a discouraging picture, but there's finally a glimmer of hopeful light at the end of this coronavirus tunnel. And there's no time like the present to reevaluate your retirement savings strategy to be sure you're doing all you can to make the most of that hard-earned money. I'm Brandi Chetsis, Communications Director here at Mayflower Advisors, and I'm delighted to introduce our inaugural Mayflower Portcast, offering a new world perspective on financial education. My colleague and friend John Wilcox is joining me today to discuss funding retirement accounts during tax season. John, a senior wealth manager at Mayflower Advisors, is also a designated accredited asset management specialist, a certified financial planner, and accredited investment fiduciary. He's been recognized multiple years as a five-star wealth manager and among 401k Wire's most influential advisors and plan advisors, top advisors. There's a laundry list of accolades and education I could note, but the bottom line is that John knows a lot about making smart, short and long-term financial decisions. More importantly, he has dedicated those decades of experience through all kinds of markets and global pandemics, helping businesses, families, and individuals plan for and achieve their financial, retirement, and investment goals. An avid competitive tennis player, he's also a member of the U.S. Professional Tennis Association and U.S. Tennis Association, and carries high local, national, and even international rankings. John shares that commitment with others by donating lessons to a variety of nonprofit organizations. He's a driven and busy guy on a mission to educate and help people work smarter, not harder, when it comes to money management. John, it's a pleasure to have you here today to learn more about this important topic. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Brandi, that was a great introduction. I really appreciate it. Thanks for that, and thanks for your efforts on this. It is a big topic, retirement planning during tax season. And frankly, all year long is an important thing. And the reality is people generally wait till their accountant tells them what to do before tax season. And in the last couple of years, we've had evolving tax season. And what it's done is it's created both a problem and an opportunity in funding retirement accounts. And I think that this year, especially with the new deadlines of May 17th, you know, the good news for us is the inaugural podcast is that it allowed us a little more time to prepare this, so perhaps it'll come out better. But I think the reality is people think about this all year long, and then they wait for their accountant to tell them what to do, and then they do it. But funding a retirement account is more than just what the accountant tells them to do. It's an all-year thing, and it's making present decisions for future opportunities and income planning for yourself and your families. And I think that's the thing that needs to be looked at. And so you're always making decisions to fund retirement despite the tax consequences. You need to consider them to know exactly what to be funding. So those are the areas that we help with all the time in our practice, our firm, and our helping our clients achieve it. So I think that's the main thing that we do.
Right. And what are some of those considerations? I'd say maybe even specifically this year, we know it's been a tough year physically, emotionally, definitely financially. COVID's taken a heavy toll. We're all ready to look, you know, to that brighter future, but are there things that people should be doing differently in their conversations with their tax professionals?
Yeah, I think if you're going to get a deduction, the real question is, are you funding something with your employer plan? Or if you have an IRA, is the IRA a better vehicle than the Roth? Or are your income levels too high to fund a Roth? And so picking the right things to fund are individualized. So for example, a higher earning family, they're going to have a restriction on a Roth individually, but at their employer plan, there are no restrictions in a Roth provision. So therefore, that's something to consider. Also, are you going to run an extension through October and possibly fund even more if you're self-employed? So, you know, self-employed individuals have a different scenario than somebody that's employed. Or if you're in a retirement plan at a company, your situation is different. You're already getting the pre-tax deduction. So if your accountant tells you you're not going to get a deduction, maybe the Roth's a better vehicle for this year if you're not over the threshold. So there's lots of things that you need to consider. But one of the most important things to consider is to be consistent. And being consistent is going to get you to where you need to get, regardless of the tax deduction or non-deduction, or but your funding strategy becomes the most important thing to be considering this time of year. Right.
I like that. And in terms of, you know, the title of this podcast, Funding Retirement Accounts During Tax Season, but you would argue really it has nothing to do with tax season in that way. It's an ongoing collection of smart habits, correct?
Yeah, it's a healthy habit approach. So if you're saying, for example, you fund $10,000 in your retirement plan at your employer, but you have an additional amount that you can fund for retirement that gets your household a deduction, you know, so be it. Go with it. But if, let's say, you don't get the deduction, maybe a Roth is more appropriate, but you're just staying consistent. And so I always say that if you get a raise from your employer and it's a humble 2%, that 1% should go towards your future and 1% should go towards your current lifestyle. We want to create two happy people, your current lifestyle and your future lifestyle. And that's one of our goals in terms of lifestyle planning and retirement as you move into it from your high earning years, as you get closer to the into that time frame. So those rules, they're made to help you out. So for example, if you're over 50, you're able to put more in because you're getting closer to retirement. So those are some of the things that you need to be thinking about as you're going through your funding strategies. And if your employer gives you a raise, it's not all for the flat screen TV, you know. You want to do something for an event in the future that you want to have, for example. That's really important to be considering when you're funding these things for your future.
And I like that approach, you know, that balance between some immediate gratification and some long-term gratification. For now, too. Maybe a smaller flat screen TV.
I always use the flat screen TV as the evil thing to purchase, but the reality is a lot of times we end up buying things that we really don't need. And I prefer people to think about plan for your future and events rather than things. I think it just becomes a more important funding concept and spending time with those that you care about the most.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I like that. How about in terms of, say, tax liabilities and those kinds of issues? Do you have any guidance on that specifically this year?
Yeah, we always our favorite default is check with your CPA always, because we technically don't give tax advice. We give tax peripheral thought. So yeah, you need to consider where, you know, your funding strategy falls. So if you are going to get a benefit to allow you and your family to keep more of your money, by all means, use the tax code to your favor. So yeah, you need to be thinking about those things, you know, the amount that you can deduct or the amount that you need. But what you really need to pay attention to is how much do you need to live on to sustain, perhaps in a married couple scenario, lifestyle for two people into their 90s nowadays, because the longevity numbers are much greater. And sometimes we see it could take up to $3 or $4 million to fund a retirement for an individual or a family, or even more than that. Just depends on the lifestyles that they're adjusting to or they're currently living as they move into that. So yeah, you need to think about all that stuff.
And I would imagine that's something that resonates with everybody, regardless of their individual family situations, just really wanting to make sure that we provide for those we love and to leave a legacy that includes foundational strength and security and all those things. So that's good guidance. John, in terms of, you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, the filing delay, I know that just came through in the last week or so, the filing delay until May 17th. Is there anything that would be an advantage to people that they should be maybe making changes, or are there steps that they should be taking now in that consideration?
Well, the best part about that is I always find that time is your best friend when you get a delay, but it also is an opportunity for people to procrastinate, which is terrible. But I think that, yeah, this way it gives you a little bit more time to budget for your funding. So if you perhaps didn't have the funds available for your April 15th, normal deadline, now you got a little bit more time to raise the funds needed to fund, you know, working closely with your CPA and knowing what those numbers are. But I think that's one of those things. And if you were going to do an extension, now you might think about, hey, maybe I won't do an extension this year because they've already extended a month. I don't need the full all the way to October situation to fund something for, you know, a self-employed individual. Maybe May's suitable this year. So yeah, those are some of the little adjustments that you might want to make as you move into it.
And this is a good reminder for someone like myself without the savvy and all that knowledge, you know, that you have, that it really is great to have someone in your corner, a team of people that know all the ins and outs of these details to make sure you're checking off all the boxes.
Yeah. And I think the last 2 years, what we learned is, you know, we always were sort of stuck on the April 15th and the October 15th timeframes. And the last 2 years has shown us that those things are adjustable in this day and age. It's amazing that we've lived through 2 years where they've adjusted those timeframes. So you do want to work with a professional advisor. You do want to work with your accountant. You do want to work with your experts and your family to understand your impact there. And so I think always be ready and nimble to adjust in these situations. I think that's one of the lessons from the last couple of years that we've been through.
Very true. And I'd say, especially the last year, we've adjusted everything. I think we've all done quite well.
Yeah.
Nothing is set
yes.
in stone anymore, right? And
right.
then I'd say on a closing side, in terms of people that might be listening to this and, you know, maybe they haven't given a serious thought to funding retirement accounts, you know, you talk to people all day, every day in every different scenario. Do you feel like it's ever too late? You know, when's the best time to get started? All these kinds of details, I would start to feel a little sense of urgency. How do you advise clients in those situations?
That's a great question, because a lot of times people that got started in their 20s are like, well, I got started in my 20s, or I got started in my 30s, or I got started in my 40s, so I should be all set. The reality is it's never really a bad time. It's, you know, right now is a good time, no matter how old you are, because, you know, setting that first goal, you know, for every $1,000 that you save for retirement, it represents around $40 to $50 of income that it can pay you over a course of 12 months. So if people start thinking in terms of what their funding strategy represents in terms of income, that's really when they start thinking of why the goal set's so important. So for every $100,000 you raise, that's an additional, you know, $4,200 of income potentially in the future. For every $1 million, it's $42,500, et cetera. So you start thinking in those terms, what does that represent in terms of the income at a given point when the paycheck stops? You know, meaning the work employer, whatever it is that you do, practitioner, just whatever occupation you're in. Understand that the portfolio is ultimately going to be paying you part of your retirement in addition to Social Security and other things that come up.
That makes so much sense. And it makes it feel less burdensome, the way you explain that, and really just more exciting, taking kind of abstract dreams and giving feet to them, you know, making a solid plan. So it doesn't have to be a sacrifice to be putting that money away. It's just a commitment.
Well, let's think of it this way. For every let's say you said, oh, I saved $1,000 for retirement. Well, that represents not a lot of money in terms of divided by 12 in terms of your future income planning. And not to be funny about it, but I mean, that's really, if you break it down like that, you start realizing for every $1,000 I raise for my future and my retirement, this represents an additional amount of income for my future. And so that's how people need to be thinking about this. But when you start thinking about the $3 million they need to raise, that's a little frustrating for people. But if they start understanding that the little actions that they take make the significant differences in their life, those are the things that make all the sense in the world when you think about it. Start looking at like biting off little chunks as opposed to worrying about the big number that you have to achieve, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, just like anything in life, right? The first step and all these things are just a gift to yourself in the end.
Yeah, right now is the best time to start, and there's never a late time. And obviously, when you leave the earth, there is. But the bottom line is you need to really spend time on taking care of your future by making current decisions in the present.
That's great. It's such good advice, and we could talk about this all day. I know you have so much wisdom to share from all your experience, and I just am grateful for this. We'll look forward to the next opportunity to discuss more. And I thank you for enlightening us, educating us with these very straightforward pointers, John.
Yeah, thank you, Brandy, for organizing this and the work that you've done on the front end of it. This is always hard to moderate these types of things. So I appreciate you
and
the effort on it.
There's much to talk about. I always learn every time we talk, I'm learning, taking my own notes. So I'm hoping that it's the same for our listeners. You always make it sound feasible, and it's refreshing to hear your straight talking approach. So thank you for that. And thank you, listeners, for taking the time to be with us today. It is important to note that this material is prepared for informational use only, gathered from sources believed to be reliable, but it may be subject to updates. So listeners are advised to seek professional accounting, tax, and legal assistance to address their unique considerations. Mayflower Advisors does not provide accounting, tax, or legal advice. If you enjoyed our content and found it useful, please do share it with a friend. And let us know if you have any ideas for future episodes at communications@mayfloweradvisors.com. This has been Brandy Chetsis and John Wilcox from Mayflower Advisors. Thanks again for joining us. Thank you, John.
Thank you.